Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tácticas podcast. This is your host, Kian Sobani, joined by my co-host, Diego Lorin. It is Monday. It is a rare Monday for this. We've been recording on Tuesdays the last few weeks, but we're back on Monday. It is March 7th. And I wanted to roll the R's today because we had a good game. We had a first good game
because
in a long time.
Of Mbappe's injury report.
No,
that's how many.
No.
R's Mbappe's injury is going to come out.
Never.
How many R's of
pools? Would never celebrate that. Oh, I'm already. God. I feel cringe for every Real Madrid fan who has said something about celebrating that injury. I want no part of it. That's not why I'm rolling my R's, Diego. I want to make that very clear publicly. I'm happy that we had a really good game and a good performance to talk about. It wasn't just like a results-based thing that we're happy about. It was a performance-based thing that we're happy about, which is we have good momentum heading into the PSG game. And so that's why I'm happy. But, you know, Barca obviously won as well, and they keep it rolling, and you should be happy as well. So, Diego, we should. I just want to say before we get into the football, this episode of the Churros y Tácticas podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, where you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code Churros, C-H-U-R-R-O-S. Only two R's in the code, C-H-U-R-R-O-S. Manscaped.com. Use code Churros for 20% off and free shipping. Have you gotten your new package yet from them?
I haven't.
It's a little bit.
I meant to tell you. Yeah. I didn't get the confirmation email neither that the form had been submitted. So thank you for pointing that out.
Follow up with them today. I got mine. It's like super useful. It's all the stuff I buy. Lip balm, body wash. We got shampoo and conditioner. And so that's perfect. These Canadian dry winters, man, I need the lip balms. I need multiple of those. So really, really big thanks to Manscaped. Been very happy with their products. Diego, where do you want to start this week?
And after coming off of the back of such a convincing, you said great performance, a convincing, commanding performance, great victory. Hey, Real Madrid can score beautiful goals too and pull off a very strong performance against the Real Sociedad side underwhelmed. Certainly, there was some sort of glimmer of hope that something was gonna were going to pull something out of this game after the early penalty caused by Carvajal, which at this point has to be a concern for all Madridistas, but not to damper the party at the moment because things are looking good. You're coming into this game against PSG with a lot of momentum, good momentum. Real Madrid in the league doesn't lose, just two losses so far. And, Camavinga scoring, just cracking goals. Modric, obviously, continuing to be solid from time to time. You know, you'd have to say that his consistency is somewhat, he can be brilliant on occasions, and he was so against Real Sociedad. Ancelotti showing that he can actually implement high press, and again against a team like Real Sociedad, who did at some moments showed some sort of threat or trying to hit Madrid on a counter, and you know, let's say 3-on-3 situations, just didn't have, you know, what a PSG obviously has, hopefully has, if Mbappe plays and your Neymars and your Messi's, of course, where you would hope and imagine. Hope if you're a culé, that PSG could cause more damage than Real Sociedad. But again, not to take anything away, this was a great performance from Madrid. Solid. Will they be as effective against PSG? That, of course, is the big question, I think, at this point. And will this strategy be as successful? We'd probably see a more conservative Madrid side against PSG, would be my guess.
More conservative than the first leg and... Or sorry, less conservative than they were in the first leg and more conservative than they were against Real Sociedad is my guess. Somewhere in between, where you can have a higher block and you can press a little bit higher, but not, you're not deep enough that you can't counter, you're not in a good position to counter, but you're also not that gung-ho where it's like, you know, it's only one goal to overturn at the end of the day. It's not, we're not coming back from 8-2 on bullshit. Of course. So I just wanted to also say that I think Real Sociedad are in some ways the perfect team to face before a game like this, where you need... Because Real Sociedad are this weird
self-esteem.
They're a weird team to me in that they're big, so that anyone who faces them, like whether it's Real Madrid or Barcelona, they go into the game thinking, oh shit, it's Real Sociedad, we got to make sure we're on top of our game. But at the same time, they're so underwhelming this season in so many aspects of the game that they're also like a kind of a wounded animal you can kind of beat up on and gain some confidence into a big game.
That's a good point.
That's what happened. Because I think Real Sociedad, like you said, they tried to put some counters together. I thought that our transition defense was really good. Oyarzabal hasn't been as lights out as he usually is. You and I discussed Alexander Isak's hasn't been the same this season.
Isak, of course.
David Silva is older. So they were missing like all three of their starting potential left back, so Gorosabal went to the left back situation. So it was kind of a, we got, not to take away anything from our performance, which I thought was really good, I also thought we got the perfect team to face and beat up on and gain a lot of confidence heading into the PSG game, which was perfect, which is what we needed. PSG coming off of a back of another loss in Ligue 1, which
come on,
everyone was like,
you're Canadian,
now
you can pronounce that better.
Nice.
Ligue 1.
Oh, that one. No. Ligue 1. Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny because I actually took French immersion up until grade 12, 7 to 12.
Well, it would be, it's probably obligatory, no?
No, it's not. No.
So much hate.
No, I French immersion means that everything was in French for me.
Oh, I see.
Like, not just that I took French class. That
I got you.
All the math
was
in French,
okay.
Science was in French.
They submerged you.
Yeah.
Dans le français.
And if you said a word in English, it'd come away with the big, big ruler stick and slap your hands.
Merde. Alors.
It was actually really strict. You'd lose like, you have like 3 chances from what I remember. And if you hit 3 in like a week, then you get like, something happens to you, you get kicked out of class or something. It was quite strict. I don't know what I was talking about.
Ligue 1. You were talking... yes, Ligue 1.
Ligue 1.
No, PSG coming off of the back of a loss.
Yeah.
In Ligue 1.
PSG coming back. Yes. So Pochettino had an interesting point in the press conference yesterday, I think it was, it must have been after the game, so Saturday night, it must have been. Because after they lost that game, the narrative was like, oh, the tide has shifted. Real Madrid are in form, PSG are all of a sudden not. And Pochettino was like, he said something that I've been saying for weeks now, that I don't really care what PSG's form is. I don't care. Like, and then Pochettino was like, if you remember before the first leg, we also lost 3-1 to Nantes. And PSG are this type of, I think they're in this weird situation where no one's holding them accountable to be good week in, week out in that league. They do enough to just win that league at this point, and they save all the energy for games that are coming up on Wednesday. So, but on the flip side, I think Real Madrid's form matters. They needed that. They needed exactly what happened on Saturday. Diego. So 100%. We're feeling better now.
How good are you feeling about Camavinga at the moment? You talk about players, you know, they needed that. If any player needed that, it would have been Camavinga.
I love him. Like, who's your favorite player right now? Like, someone like you're like, you get like emotional if they score a goal or something.
Does he have to wear a white shirt?
No. Just who's your favorite? Who's your favorite guy?
Okay. Oh, thank God. You didn't have to make me like confess anything.
Well, your favorite white shirt guy is Vinicius.
Of course, Ansu.
Okay.
I can't deny it. Do I have a soft spot? Could have been dressed in blue and red. Well, Ansu, with Ansu, man. Big time.
So Camavinga is like probably like my version of Ansu then, because
right.
Oh my God, I love him so much. Mm. I love the way he plays. I love how physical he is. I love how he can throw people around even though he's still a teenager. And I just love everything about him. So I just got really happy for him after that game, because it wasn't just about his goal. I thought his overall performance was great, and he was playing in a position that where he can actually thrive and he can actually be in higher and advanced area. It's kind of like, to me, it's like the similar debate of like, Frankie is not a six. He's not a Busquets. He's more of a box-to-box guy. And I actually thought Frankie against Elche, even though you guys only scored two goals, he got into such good position just making those runs as a central midfielder that he can't really do as a DM. So it's kind of the same kind of debate, but I just really like Camavinga's performance from top to bottom. And I do wonder like what it means for PSG, just in the sense that because Kroos still might not make it for that game and Casemiro was out, he might have to play in a position that is not necessarily his best role. So there's that as well. But so I don't really know what it means for the PSG game in that regard. But at least this is what I was worried about, Diego, that heading into this game, I was like, if players like Camavinga, who are forced to play because of the injuries in this game, don't play well, everyone's going to pile on them. They're going to be like, see, this is why Ancelotti doesn't rotate. So I'm just really lucky, and I'm just happy that he played well, because now we see, okay, we can get contributions from the bench. We have good players on the bench we can use. And that part of the equation was really important for me.
Rodrigo for Asensio, convincing also for you?
I would. I mean, even though Asensio scored like pretty much on his first touch off the bench, but Rodrigo brings more to the table. He's a better dribbler and he's better defensively, which is important against, you know, PSG on the flank. So I would start him. Like, I don't know if the 4-3 is...
Especially with Carvajal, obviously, behind him. Again, I touched upon it quickly. He's got to be a concern. I was mentioning or asking for Madridistas. He's causing penalties. Just can't keep up.
That's part of the reason. Even if Carvajal was in form, he still got to face like Neymar, Mbappe on that side, you know, plus Nuno Mendes. So Rodrigo, in that sense, is really important. If I don't know if I would start a 4-3-3, because, you know, there's arguments to be made. Maybe you should go with a 4-4-2 and put four midfielders, like put Fede and Camavinga together in that game to get you some control. But if you're going to play 4-3-3, it should be Rodrigo over Asensio, because we saw what Asensio did against PSG. And Asensio just better off the bench. He always has been a more of a super sub than a player who can give you guaranteed, reliable things from the start. So I 100%. If I had to choose between those two, I'd go with Rodrigo over Asensio. Rodrigo played really well against Real Sociedad. Good dribbler. Gave Gordo Zabal all kinds of hell.
Benzema as well, kind of hitting his stride again before PSG.
Super important. Modric was fantastic.
Modric, that's what I was saying. Doesn't have that consistency, but obviously can still play brilliant on any given day.
Yeah. So.
Very good. Very happy good. Days. Well,
first time in a while we've started with the Real Madrid segment.
rightfully so, come on. But on to the next round, knockout round of the Champions League it is, where you will face?
I don't know who PSG will face. It's nothing. I can't speak to that. I guess UEFA will decide. I don't see us getting
I'm looking that. Forward to it. I'm hoping that everybody can play and everybody will be healthy. It's going to be a hell of a match.
How about this? If you agree that Barca are going to win the Europa League and we're going to do... Oh, my God. Imagine that scenario. If we win the Champions, you guys win the Europa League, and we play each other in the Super Cup.
Never thought about that.
That would be one for the ages. That I can promise you.
I would actually.
As long as I am on this earth, that will never happen again. That will be the first time it's ever happened and the last time it's ever happened. That will never happen again, where you have Real and Barca in the Super Cup. One Europa League winner, one Champions League winner.
I would really, that might be the cup that I would want to win the most.
the Europa League team punching above its weight. Exactly. We got a Clasico coming up. It's too soon to talk shit right now.
We do. Yeah. And soon as well, God damn it, which I need to talk about that weekend. Anyway, do you want to, before we transition, you want to let the audience know? So you are doing what exactly? You guys are having a pod on Saturday. Just quick, sell it to the listeners and me.
And you. Well, here's the thing. Right now, we need to sell a certain amount of tickets. So if we can, this is super impromptu. So if we can get like 15 to 20 people involved, we'll do it. We'll go ahead with it, and we'll have a very small, intimate podcast. But if we don't hit that number, so we're not going to do it. So if you guys are going to be in Madrid for Clasico weekend, and you want to just meet us, and you want to see, like, I'll be there, Ewan will be there. I'll invite pretty much every single English-speaking journalist in that city, and there's a lot of them, and they usually come out. So I'll just say Ewan and I, but wow, as a baseline. But, you know, there could be a bunch of special guests. If you are interested in that, you have to
name
sign
drop,
up.
Baby, name drop.
You have to sign up ASAP. You have to sign up ASAP, otherwise we're not going to do it. And also we set out, we create an event page, and there's early bird tickets. So if you want to be a part of it, you gotta get in now, like in the next week, because otherwise we're just not going to do it. And if we do it, the prices will go up. So do it. Commit in the next week or so if you're planning on attending. So that out of the way. It'll be a Saturday podcast. So the day before, what we'll do is, and if you come, we'll just talk a lot of pregame shit and we'll answer questions. Ratings.
Okay. I'm going to put all my efforts into it.
All right. We'll take your word for it. Well, I know you're dying to talk about Barcelona because you guys had 68% possession, which is fantastic for your philosophies and your ideologies. So, do you want to talk about some of the passes you guys were passing around? Triangles, pressing. What stood out to you about that Elche game? Hence, a little bit nervy.
I'm guessing that from your tone that you want to talk about whether it was handball or not, and the robo, what the entire Madrid-based press is basically crying about today, because we're in third position and we're coming. Yes.
You know I don't read Madrid press. I don't read press.
Well, listen,
at all in football, but I know. Yeah,
I enjoy reading press, from wherever it may be, and from certain journalists like Tomás Roncero, you expect that type of narrative. However, even Alfredo Relaño, who, you know, I have not just a lot of respect for, but I've had the fortune to attend some of his lectures, and, you know, respect. And
that's going to be me one day when I'm older. I'm going to, like, just gradually become more and more disrespectful and just be senile and old, and, like, just start yelling at everyone, complaining about
that. That's gonna. That's just getting old. Yeah, exactly. That just happens as you age. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. A lot of them. All the news was about that. The handball called in favor for Barça, and the Jordi Alba handball not called in favor for Elche. And I'm thinking, because one was a handball and the other one wasn't a handball, are we gonna just make things up now, or are we just cry about the right decisions? As Mourinho, mind you, once famously said in a post-match press conference after winning a Copa del Rey, and Pep Guardiola complaining about
he was right on that one
because Pedrito was in an offside position. It was the right call. As narrow as it was. Oh my God, a game. Anyway, the point being is, like, I mean, one is a handball, the other one wasn't. If I guess you weren't aware of this discussion that has been capturing the front pages.
So I just know I didn't read anything. But so I assume your stance is that the calls were correct.
Yeah, they were correct. Yes. One is a weak handball that you don't like to see called, and I agree. However, according to the regulations that the referees are now following, that was a handball because his arm was, you know, away from his body. He was making a movement as well. I mean, he literally kind of pushes the ball out of touch, for a corner. I don't want to dispute entirely neither whether or not Memphis actually touched the ball right before, which I think there's a possibility from an angle that he might have. Like, it ricocheted from Memphis to, shit, what the fuck was his name?
Was it the guy who conceded the penalty?
Yeah.
I'll tell you in 1 second.
In any case,
I have so many tabs open. Okay.
Okay. Well, I looked that up. So I don't dispute that.
But
yes, it was Barragán. Okay. And but anyways, that's it. And fucking, you talk about, you know, goals that made you feel good. When fucking Memphis slammed in that penalty kick, like as vicious as of a penalty kick as I've ever seen, I felt genuinely good. And I felt that Barca over in a whole, as a general, deserved the 3 points and deserved to win the match based on our performance, which wasn't fantastic, wasn't great.
But it was deserved.
Elche, you know, but it was deserved. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys created a plenty of chances, even though of the narrative that I saw was like, Fernando. Barca are not playing that well. But, like, if you look at it, I mean, Barca just created way more chances. But I think maybe you could maybe argue the standard was lower than what you guys have been doing in the past three games. Like you and I mentioned, there was like 12 goals in three games straight, right? So that's kind of the standard maybe some people were holding Barca to. Where do I stand on the penalties?
Aubameyang didn't have his most inspired night. You know, Adama, Ferran Torres came on in the second half where he was quite frankly good, but continued to obviously miss chances. Frenkie de Jong missed probably, you know, the chance of one of the chances of the season. I don't know if you saw that play, but he really had the chance perfectly to put us up 1-0 and just basically passed it right to the final defender that was in between the three sticks. So Barca had the chances. Elche, you got to give it to them. They're a side that are difficult to beat at home. I think only Real Madrid and Betis managed to pick up 3 points there. So they're well coached and disciplined and do what they do. So, yeah,
and they don't defend as deep as some of the other La Liga teams either.
Neither, no.
They try to attack you a little bit.
Certainly. And then, but Ter Stegen, in credit to them, had to pull off some miraculous saves as well. It was a great game for Ter Stegen to get his autoestima, his self-esteem back, especially after Barca had just, you know, managed to draw. And then Elche had a chance to go ahead again, and he had to produce another really, really good save. So,
well, Ferran and Frenkie both had more than one amazing chance. I'd say they had like at least two each that were in just great goal-scoring positions. So you guys created a lot again. I guess I'll just mention on the penalties, I thought both calls were correct. I think, like, the first one, the Barragán one, was a penalty. And then the second one where it wasn't called, it was Jordi Alba, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That one is, like, me personally, I wouldn't call that. I've seen people say, well, that's been called before. But, you know, in a vacuum, it was the right call. The other ones that were called before shouldn't have been called. Let's just put it that way. So I don't think it was a penalty. And I think, you know, the rules are always so vague and ever-changing, so it's always hard to keep up with what the handball rules are. But, like, there's no way that that should be a penalty. Like, that's not the same as what Barragán did. Alba had no idea where the ball was, and like, it just, there's no way he was like trying to.
And it's by his side.
Yeah, it's by his side. It didn't affect the trajectory of anything.
And the same goes for PK.
I don't remember the PK one.
There was something with PK.
Okay. And then the Memphis penalty kick itself has to be the most unstoppable penalty. Like, if you.
Hands down.
just like off the top of my head, that's the most unstoppable penalty ever kicked by a human being in any since like 1800s. Like, there's none, you can't. There's nothing more unstoppable than that. It's literally a rifle in the top right corner. You can't. Is there any way you can perfect that? You can't better that. The one that always stands out to in my mind as like unstoppable was, I don't know if you remember this, but in the Euro 2000, one of the knockout stages game, France versus Portugal, extra time, where Zidane lines up and he hits a top left corner and it's just bending up and it like goes in the top left. But this one was even better because it's just a laser. Like it's like you can't, it's one thing to place it there. Even if you place it there without power, it's probably a goal because it's so out of the keeper's reach. But this also had the venom behind it. So this is where I stand. That's the greatest penalty ever taken, ever. That's it.
I agree. And no one can we saw already it. Early signs of it too. Yeah. It's not the first time that he does this. This is sort of his thing, and he's perfecting. He's very brave, man. Like, you know, imagine someone just sailing over. You'd be like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Yeah, it's very risky. Unstoppable. You described it. From point A to B, the shortest distance is a straight line. That's exactly what he does. I saw some sort of XG. It was an XG goal, like an X goal or XGOL, it said, which basically made it near impossible. I don't know exactly the stat it was.
Was it the La Liga one? Because La Liga brought this new thing. They basically rebranded XG and called it goal probability or something. Was it that?
Oh, that's probably it. That might have been it.
XG with penalties, it's always the same. It's 0.74 no matter what. That's the chance. Everyone, it's universal. But La Liga's goal probability, I don't know if it might be calculated a bit differently where I don't know if actually they calculate it differently, but yeah.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
About the Piqué thing, there was something with Piqué. I was trying to look at it now to pull it up, but I didn't see it in the highlights now that I quickly wanted to, as I brought up the point, it might have not touched his, there was something, I don't remember what it was now, but anyway, for me, no big controversy coming out of this match. Like we said, a Barça performance that really, it was one of those kind of performances that you need in order to continue the good momentum and the good drive and really quite streak in the league. You know, Barca right now are since 2022 the team that has racked up the most points in the league, and we're on course. We're doing good. We're on third now, so with one game less. Sevilla dropping points. Betty, Atletico are giving us a helping hand, and. On we go, dude. In a big week for us as well. You know, obviously we're playing Galatasaray this week. The Europa League is coming in hot, man. Week after week. There's no rest in this league. The Europa League. Vicious. Only the strong survive.
Our predictions. is that a Tropic Thunder reference? That was very Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Yes, it was. It's true. Good one.
Well, our predictions on the Friday podcast over on patreon.com/churrositacticas are off to a good start this Monday because we predicted Atletico are going to start surging. They took care of Betis pretty well, pretty comfortably. And Sevilla, I didn't predict this, but we entertained Lucas's idea that Barca are going to come second. Sevilla now, if you guys win your game in hand, you'll only be 4 points back of Sevilla. So that's becoming an increasing probability. And Real Betis dropping out of the top four a week after we said they're going to drop out of the top four. So there's that.
It's great. I wish my crypto calls were as good as my footy calls. I'll be a happier man today.
I know nothing about that. I can't even partake in that conversation.
That's good.
We had on the Friday podcast, we had a couple comments on it. One, some nice analysis from our man Taps. Mm. We also had a comment from our patron, Robert Palomaki. You want me to read it for you?
Oh, please. Thank you.
Robert says, zero basketball. Excellent. So he was happy that we did not even talk about basketball at all.
Wow, we have basketball haters listening to us. Interesting.
We have basketball. We had
one. I don't think I could ever hate a sport that much to be like, I don't want to fucking hear about that. If you know what I mean? If I'm tuning into a podcast where I like the two, let's say, hosts and the, of course, the topics of discussion are important. I agree. But I couldn't imagine if on one, I'm such a, let's say, fan and follower, like the in our case, obviously football, Barça, Madrid, etc. To then if we sometimes deviate the slightest to NBA, I would want to hear that out, you know, if it's golf, well, if it's American football or whatever.
If I listen to a podcast about something and they deviate to another subject, that's fine to me. But then if they have a whole segment on it, I'll switch to another podcast. Not like sure. Viciously and aggressively and right. Fuck these guys. But like okay, I'm just on to the next one.
Wasted right? My time. Yeah.
Sure. So I get it. Like I guess, but like some people really like the basketball discussion. I will continue to say I'm not a basketball expert. I just really enjoy the game.
Far from it, me too.
Yeah. So I just like to talk about it sometimes. But don't go to us for basketball analysis. Just go. But just you know, if you want to, we're gonna throw it in.
It's definitely
there.
Way more qualified people. Yes. Yeah. Certainly.
So do you want to, I mean, I have a crazy week because the PSG game is going to take the life out of me, but I got a lot of work to do. But is there anything else that you want to discuss this week?
Not anything pressing. Joan Laporta is this year. Not
1 year
doing
ago. 1 year today.
Press conference, yes. He came to studio, so it was like a big, you know, the commotion of, oh, somebody's coming to studio. The president in this case. And he's doing an interview, or he just did it. I think they should be done now. 1 year in as you said, Kian, in power, in charge.
Was that one Austin
and
Powers?
Doing a good job, in my opinion.
Was that is Austin it? Powers?
Yeah, baby. No. In power, in charge, baby. It's been 1 year. You know what? Now, from now on, when I'm going to translate Joan Laporta from Catalan or Spanish to English, I'm going to try to do the Austin Powers.
Do the Portuguese.
In charge.
Do the Portuguese one. I would love, like, for those of you guys who aren't patrons, Diego did an amazing Portuguese accent. He did a great Casemiro impersonation on Friday, and it had me in belly laughter.
El partido ha sido muito difícil. Um tremendo partido do Real Madrid, clube número um. Real Madrid.
Oh, man. I would do anything. Oh, like, on the day you quit Barca, just on the last time you have to translate the Laporta's conference, go out with a bang. Just translate it in the Portuguese accent. I'd like to see that.
I could do that. Yeah. I could do that. But to be honest, Casimiro's Spanish is quite fluent, but he just keeps, he does what I do in some language. Like when I speak German, I'll just sometimes throw Dutch words in there because then I'm like, it's the same. But he's like, no, partido de Real Madrid ha sido muy bien. And he uses some certain keywords that I had them on Friday. I don't think
it's easy. Like I had that difficulty with Spanish and French a lot. Like, a lot of people say, well, it's easy to learn Spanish if you know French because some of it is similar. But actually, to me, it does the opposite. It confuses me, if anything. It confuses me. Like, sometimes I'll throw in French words in when I'm talking Spanish. Or now, if I'm talking French to someone, it doesn't happen that often anymore, but, like, I'll throw in Spanish words and I'm talking French. And to me, it's actually confusing. Right. I sympathize with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Diego's like looking at me in shock, like, you don't pretend you know Spanish. You didn't even know what grapefruit was a couple of weeks ago. To be fair, you didn't know what it was either.
I didn't either. Yeah,
you didn't either. And I forget what it was already. You looked it up.
Don't put me on the spot. I guess, you know, I forgot as well.
Yeah. Well, to be clear,
Hostia puta, no. Me olvidado.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bad memory. It doesn't matter. We're not going to drag the podcast anymore.
No, what I did want to ask, are we done? Okay, you asked me for one more thing. No, I just wanted to ask about, to close off the Camavinga topic, we kind of digressed and moved on to Barca, but I wanted to ask you, Toni Kroos or Camavinga, where chooses you? Who do you choose?
Well,
the German accent is really my favorite.
I hate the German accent. It's my least favorite one that you do. It's so creepy. No.
Don't be like that.
So if Cruz is healthy, I would actually go Cruz, Camavinga, and Modric is what I would do. And then maybe even throw Fede in there on the right wing. So you get all four of them. But if Cruz is not healthy, then it picks itself. It's Modric, Camavinga, and Fede, those three. But I've told you this last week. I don't want Cruz at 50%, 70%, 80%, even 90%. I want season is on the line. We need legs. Put him in there if he's 100%. If he's not 100%, then just go with Camavinga, Fede, and Modric.
There it is.
There it is.
All right.
Predictions for Wednesday, buddy, before we log off?
I think Madrid will go through. Honestly do. When I said that on Friday, I meant it.
Okay.
We'll go with, I don't know. I think it might even be a big night in the Bernabeu, one of those where I'm just going to be like a 3-1. Yeah, go. Here, 3-1.
All right. And I predict Barca will also beat Galatasaray. Shocking.
So do I.
Yeah.
5-0.
What else do we got? Do you want to take a crack at the other Spanish teams? So this week.
All right, yeah.
We'll just go with the ones this week. So this week we have Manchester Atletico on Tuesday. Wow, tomorrow. So what do you predict there?
Nice. Well, listen, if they can repeat what they did last time they faced them with this United, quite frankly, in free fall, dare I say, you got to fancy Atletico's chances, man, to go through.
Yeah. Also, the way they beat Betis,
come on.
That game
it's not this week. That's what I thought.
Yeah,
it would have been perfect.
Both Villarreal and Juve. Well, it's next week. So, but if I had to jump ahead, the churro. Can you do that? Can you do churros, but in Portuguese?
Churros. I'll say it like that. I think
you sound like my son when he tries to say churros. especially churros. The way Manchester. It's not just Atletico are playing well. Manchester are just. The Manchester City game was. I didn't watch it live.
Right.
I didn't watch the whole game at all. I just watched highlights and looked at the stats and I read some stuff. And it's like men amongst boys, from what I understand. It was like
a thing of beauty.
It was like just Pep's team coming out for a training session and just putting like a bunch of kids in a blender and then leaving. And that was it.
That's what it was.
So
yeah.
But again, who knows. Who knows? We got to put the beautiful, who knows.
Beautiful football.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up here.
Beautiful football.
We both got a busy, busy, busy schedule.
Still don't win the Champions League this year. You know, I don't, like, this is their year. City have to win the Champions League this year. Yeah.
Well, there are many teams in their way. We'll see.
Come on, Pep.
All right. Appreciate it, Diego. Thanks. We'll be back on Friday, patreon.com/churrositacticas, and we'll see you guys there. Thanks, Diego. Talk soon. Take care.
Peace out, you too.
Peace. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.